Today's daf is Masechet Zevachim, daf Pei Hey. We're holding on the bottom of Pei Dalet on the base, three lines up, with the last words on the line, on Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the context for Rabbi Yochanan's statement to come is the machloket that we had yesterday about what im alu yerdu and what im alu lo yerdu. So we had this fundamental machloket in the Mishnah as to whether, as Rabbi Shimon says, there is a line that is drawn between psulim b'kodesh or laf psulim b'kodesh, or Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. We have three specific cases that the Torah excludes, and that would be the only cases that do not have some equivalent that would be machshir them in other circumstances. No matter what those circumstances are, even if it would be on a boma, for instance, like Abba Yotze. Well, since it's kosher on a boma, it's also im alu lo yerdua. Entirely different way of looking at it. Today, Rabbi Yochanan wants to point out that, strangely enough, there is a separate area that we need to define in terms of being royal mizbeach. So, b'pashtut mizbeach mekadesh ta'ra'ui lo. You would think that whatever defines ra'ui lo is the definitive understanding of, for instance, what would you be chayev if you shechted and were mala b'chutz, this thing. Since the Torah says ve'el petach ha'el mo'ed lo hevio, only those things which could, in some sense, be kosher on the mizbeach, petach ha'el mo'ed, those are the things that you're chayev if you were makriv b'chutz. But what you wouldn't be able to be makriv bifnim is not considered to be the avera of hakravas chutz. Rabbi Yochanan says a remarkable chiddush today, that even aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, according to whose standards, if you shechted a behema balayla in the Azorah, that was one of the three cases that he said, from Zot, Ha'ola, Hi Ha'ola, one of those three miyutim, came to tell me Ashofet Balayla. Therefore, even if it was Olal Mizbeach Yered, you would say, and therefore it follows naturally, that if I took it out of the Azorah after I shechted it and I brought it on a Mizbeach outside, in the middle of the desert, that I would be putter, because I couldn't bring it inside, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yochanan, the standards for defining what is roi for the Olmeyed, the Gabish Chutechutz, and Halos Chutz, are not the same standards that define Im Olu Yerdu. And therefore, Hashochet Be'ma Balayla Bifnim, you did the shechita at night, even Aliba Rabbi Yehuda, if you went ahead Be'ala Bachutz, you would still remarkably be chayev. And it would be considered, on some level, a ro'i bifnim. Why? Because look, by definition, if you shechted bachutz and you were male bachutz, what's the halacha? You're chayev separately for the shechita, separately for the halo. Now you should say to yourself, but shchutei chutz, for sure, im olu yerdu. Nonetheless, the act of shechita, being when it culminates in halos chutz, is considered by definition to be okay. Therefore, lo te pechuta, it can't possibly be worse than doing shchutei chutz, following it up with halos chutz. What's that supposed to be? It can't be worse. Let me give you an example of precisely where you see that it can be worse, okay? Hashochet ov bifnim. Let's see, do a shechita on a bird. Is there such a thing as doing a shechita on a bird bifnim? No. Definitely it's going to be possible because you need to do malika on birds bifnim. According to you, no. Hashochet ov bifnim, v'amala bachutz patur. This is the halacha. If you went, you took that bird and you brought it bachutz, you would be patur. Shachat bachutz, umale bachutz. Everybody agrees is chayav. Now, according to you, how could a shechita bifnim be worse than lo te pchuta mishochet umala bachutz? The same thing, it's the same argument. Tiyufte. Or maybe not. Or ibait ema, there is a way out. And what is the way out? Shechitat of bifnim is not an act of shechita. That's the way out. It's an act of murder, premeditated. Because there is no way to ever be matir an oath. The concept of shechitas oath doesn't exist. Don't call it shechita, and then you will see that your difficulty suddenly goes away. Call it stabbing it through the heart. Would you have a problem? Of course not. Stabbing it through the heart is not kosher anywhere. That's ridiculous. So you're saying, but I mean, shechita b'chutz would be... The act of shechita b'chutz has nothing in common with the movement of the knife over the throat of a bird bifnim. That's not called shechita. That's called a shooting it through the brain. That's the point. And therefore, what are you saying? Lo te pchuta, it's a different act, even though it looks physically the same. So, if you want, you could say that shechita to of bifnim is nothing but murder. Mikdal katle. And has nothing to do with the Shechita Bachutz, which of course is very different than the case of a Shogeg Behema Balayla, where the act of Shechita is perfectly okay. The only problem is, but there's a problem, because a Laila isn't a good time for Shechita, thank you. And if you're Shechet Bachutz is not a good place for Shechita. Nonetheless, Halah is still Mechuyev, so why is this any worse? Omar Ula. Now, we discussed this Ula earlier, and remember that Ula said a Murei Kochim Kali. And this was, in fact, what we thought was problematic, Benogea, the mincha, the komets of the mincha, that we didn't put into a kli. It was from this that we asked why it's any different than Ula's case. Remember, we said the difference is that when it comes to a mincha that you didn't put into a kli, the problem is something is missing in it itself. And therefore, it's not roy from the mizbeach. Masha inkein, emurim kachim kalin, before zrikas adam, there's nothing missing in the actual emurim. It's that the Zerika hasn't been it, that's something external. When it's external, then the object itself is Roy Lemizbeach, ultimately, and therefore, Im Alu Lo Yerdu. That's my Kiddush, says Ula. Here we get to discuss Ula directly. All right, so Ula comes along and says, look, it's true that Imuri Kachim Kalim, as opposed to Kachim Kachim, which are always considered to be the portion of the Mizbeach, but Kachim Kalim are entirely a secular animal, until you do something that makes them gods, part of them, gods. Because the essence of Kachim Kalim is this is my meat, which I'm not coming to share with God through bringing it as a carb. So when I do that act of Shechita and then follow it up with the Zrikas Adam, I now have set aside the internal Emurim as the Chelek of HaKadosh Baruch to go up on the Mizbeach. But up until that time, they're not viewed as having a connection to the Mizbeach. So therefore, my Chiddush is that Afal Pikein, once they were put on the Mizbeach, despite the fact that Zrikas Adam wasn't done yet, since ultimately this is the intent and they are in fact a part of the carb that will go on the Mizbeach, Nasalach Moshe Mizbeach. Omar Rebbe Zera says, Rebbe Zera, I think I could prove that. I could prove that directly from the Mishnah, and therefore what Ula is saying is actually innate in how you would understand the Mishnah, because it says, V'shenishbach dama, v'sheyatza dama chutz l'kilayim. Now, remember that Rebbe Yehuda used that as the big three, you know, the big three game. This is the big three miyutim. So these were, I mean, Rabbi Shimon doesn't necessarily talk about this beferish, but it's clear that when Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the only cases that I would say would mean that that, in fact, is part of the machlokes from Rabbi Shimon, who goes according to the issue of whether it's Tzulam B'Kadesh, versus Rabbi Yehuda, who goes according to whether we would find a model elsewhere, right? So since Rabbi Shimon clearly would disagree with Rabbi Yehuda on this, and Nishpach Dama, therefore, according to him, if the Dama had actually been poured out, now we don't have any Dama. That sure seems to me that if the dam is poured out and we don't have any dam, that couldn't possibly be a better situation than when I have the dam and I just haven't sprinkled it yet, right? And nonetheless, it says, Imolu lo yerdu. I think that's pretty clear. But I mean, it takes Ula a step further, no?
They'll never be this
week. Exactly. So you're telling me, dama, v'shiyatza dama chutz l'kilayim, according to Rabbi Shimon, im olu lo yerdu. It's only Rabbi Yehuda who includes this in the big three. So, come on, man. I mean, ma'atam, im bali's rok, over there, if the guy wanted to do zrik, he wouldn't have any dam to be zorik. Im lo lizrok, what's he going to do? And nonetheless, the Mishnah is willing to say that im olu lo yerdu, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. So what's Ula? Obviously, over here the dam is here. Im bali's rok, you've got what to be zorik, you can do that. Ultimately, it's going to be up there. So, lo koshikain, obviously, that's going to be okay, and we're going to say, im olu lo yerdu. Well, maybe actually that part of the Mishnah was only referring to kachik kachim. And okay, kachik kachim, I understand. Over there you have kedushat haguf before you do the zrik. They're not like kachim kalim, it's the zrik itself that creates the kedushat haguf. In fact, that was the entire point that Ula was making, wasn't it? That even though you might think that this is similar to the case of the ktoret, the kibitza, that you didn't put into a kli, to be makadoshit b'kli, that it's different because it's something exterior. But I mean, it's still a tremendous kiddush. It's not yet roy to be the chelek of the mizbeach. So therefore, how do you know that the Mishnah was referring even to kachim kalim? I mean, it's a pretty fundamental question that we've got over here. By no way did the two follow. I mean, why should I jump to the conclusion that we're talking about even the case that Ula was coming to address, which was kachim kalim? Says to the Gemara, well, how can you think that the Mishnah is limited to kachim kachim when the closing case of the Mishnah was a Pesach? Shenishka chelo lishma. Now, Pesach is about as kachim kalim as you can get. And it's in the Mishnah. So obviously the Mishnah is a reference to all types of kachim, just like we see at the end. So Hare Pesach, kachim kali. Well, I mean, look, just because the Mishnah is willing to discuss a case in the context of Shelo Lishman, which, remember, is a set that only has two members or three members according to Rabbi Eliezer, which is Chatas, Pesach, and maybe Osham. Okay, obviously over there, but what am I going to talk about? Only one. So talk about the Pesach. It doesn't mean that all the other issues that are brought up in the Mishnah necessarily have to be referring to Kachim Kalim too. I don't see that that follows. So maybe that's when it comes to Bishalo Lishman. Could be. So talk about Bishalo Lishman. Okay, now, so let me point out something else to you. Let me see if you're going to continue to be obstinate about this. Tanan. Kulam sha'alu chayin megabi mizbeach yerdu. Remember those words? Anything, kulam, anything of the above that comes up while it's still living on a mizbeach should be removed. Because the mizbeach is only mekadesh, not living animals, but basar, dam, nesachim, as long as the case may be. Okay, now, does that imply, yes or no, that if they were not alive, but they were shrutim, lo yerdu. Kulam, lo yerdu. Which means, kulam would be loshna kachim kachim loshna kachim kalim. I mean, it's just make a blanket statement. So that should include anything, and if it includes anything, it includes Ula's case. Kachim kalim that were olu chayim. You got a live animal up there, take it down. But if it's not a live animal up there, you didn't do zrika, you didn't do anything, you just did shnita. It's not a live animal. Lo yerdu. That's Ula's case. Exactly. No zrika, doesn't matter. Once it's up there, leave it up there, put it on the mizbeach. That's what it's saying. That to me is Ula's case. Yes, maybe, maybe not. I mean, look, it may well be that the way to look at it is like this. The statement, as mentioned, kulam, yes, is a blanket statement. But the implications of a blanket statement do not necessarily mirror the blanket statement. In other words, if you're telling me all of the above that were olu chayim should be yerdu, does that necessarily mean that all of the above, if they were olu not chayim, lo yerdu? No. That's not logical. The statement may be true, but nonetheless, the negative of the statement does not, it nowhere implies that, and any of the above that were oila not chayim can stay there. All that it's saying is, look, for sure anything that's oila chayim has to go down. Now let's get to the next issue. How about if they were oila as bosser? It depends. If they're kachikachim, they stay up there. If they're kachikachim, they come. Maybe. I mean, you can't bring me a raya from an illogical implication. So that, therefore, I say, let's read it like that. Look, I say, hashchutim, mehem yerdu, mehem lo yerdu. Now let's discuss the next category. But it says, v'chulamim olu. Yes, I just explained that to you. Chulam is referring to the live animals. The implication is not v'chulam. So then it's a trivial statement then. So v'chulam, so then pshita. Obviously then, if lomaisa, I have no problem, I can be machzir them up to the mizbeach. You're saying we're talking about kosher animals, completely kosher animals. So then it's a trivial statement to say, well, if you brought it up to the top of the mizbeach, yerdu, I mean, anyway, look, what's the point of the yerdu? The point of the yerdu is not that you can't shecht on the top of the mizbeach. We already saw that there's no problem if somebody's shochet, whether it's kachik kalim, kachik kachim, the top of the mizbeach is considered to be the equivalent of tzofer. And we learn it out from a pasuk, no matter where the mizbeach is, v'zavachta aleha, in which the Torah is Maram is towards the top of his back of Kosher Shkita. So therefore, what are we really talking about? We're talking about the problem of it's being inappropriate. Now all we need is for that animal to let loose on top of the Mizbeach, and boy, everybody running out of there. So that's certainly not an appropriate place to do Shkita. So you're telling me a completely trivial statement. It doesn't matter if it's Kachim Kachim or Kachim Kalim. Well, obviously, it doesn't matter if it's Kachim Kachim or Kachim Kalim. If the Kachim Kachim are going to be more careful about where they go to the bathroom, what kind of statement is that? Why would it make a difference if it's kachim kachim or kachim kalim? The only implication of the v'chulam would have to be that in the opposite case, if it were in fact already shechted, and then you brought it up, v'chulam, even kachim kalim, or over there, does become a different issue. Because I didn't do zrika yet. That nonetheless, lo yerdu like ula. So I still maintain that it's absurd to say that the word v'chulam is referring to the live animals, because then it teaches us zero. If I do not gain anything by shechting on top of the Mizbeach, all I do is lose by doing something inappropriate in the Beit HaMikdash. So what would be the point of thinking there could be a distinction? Well, now wait a minute. You're making an assumption that v'chulan would be a reference to kosher animals, in which case you don't gain anything by doing the shechita on top of the Mizbeach. How about if we're talking about non-kosher animals. And then you do gain something. Because then if you shecht them on the Mizbeach, you'll be able to be mocked with them. But if you take them down, you'll never be able to bring them back up again. So you'll say, but how could there possibly be non-kosher animals? Then it would be psuloi not bekedesh. If psuloi is not bekedesh, then anyway, even imolu yerdu, so you wouldn't gain anything by doing the shkita. Aha! There is one case where you could have an animal that is not kosher, and nonetheless it would consider to be imolu lo yerdu. Where is that? Alibid Rabbi Akiva, mumim that are not noticeable and do not matter in a bird, because it's not a chusar aver. So he says, since a baalus mum doesn't apply in this case to a bird, therefore him all, and that's considered to be, and definitely if you take it down, you'll never be able to take it up again. This is a behemoth baal mum. So over there, I would say, aha, it's well worth shechting this on top of the mizbeach, because otherwise I lose the korban completely. So now it's not trivial. That's not trivial, because what's coming to say is, look, the Mizbeach will not be Mekadesh et Chaim. That's the point. Not simply, well, it's inappropriate to the Shkita. Might as well bring it back down, which was the way you were understanding it. In which case, V'chulan isn't teaching me anything. It doesn't matter if it's Kachi Kolam, Kachi Kachi. But now that we're talking about Bali Mumin, it matters very much. And that could be the case. It's talking about Bedokin Shabbat. It's got the cataract. And it's going on Libet Rabbi Akiva, who says, Imolu lo yerdu. And therefore, when it says V'chulam, it's referring to psulim, not kesherim. But this type of psulim, that nonetheless, chayim, forget about it. The Mizbeach is not Mekadesh chayim, which is exactly what we learned out of the Patsik the other day, from the interrelationship of Ola and the din of Kvasim, if you recall, in Kol HaNogea B'Mizbeach Yigdash. Oh, really now? So let me get this straight. But Mayu Kimtetz, now how are you understanding the Chiddush? That part was saying psulim. Psulim chayim olu yerdu. Okay, I dare you to continue reading the Mishnah with that interpretation in mind. Okay, keep reading, go ahead. Ema Sefer. V'chein ola she'alta chayal rosh ha'mizbeach tered. If an ola was brought up alive to the top of the mizbeach, it shall be brought down. If it was shachut on the rosh ha'mizbeach, then go ahead and do hefshet v'nituach right there on top of the mizbeach. Now, I thought I understood this Mishnah, see, because we were talking all along about things that are kosher, and the question is, what do you do with a kosher animal on top of the Mizbeach? Okay, so we say, you know, for Shkita, take it down, but if you already did the Shkita, then do the Hefshet V'nituach, and now you're telling me, well, no, it's not really kosher, because that would be trivial, it's really an animal that's Dokin Shabbayin. Ah, thank you. So now the Mishnah is telling me that I shechted an animal that was a balas mum on top of the Mizbeach, I should proceed to do the Hefshet V'nituach. That's all very sweet, except for a little problem, in which the Torah says, do not do Hefshet V'nituach on a puzzle animal. Ah, so what do you do about that? Says the Gemara, okay, let's see that inside. V'chein olat sh'al tol rosh ha'mizbeach tered, but shachat ab rosh ha'mizbeach yafshit v'natach be'bekoma, excuse me, but he psula, but Hefshet V'nituachi? Is there Hefshet V'nituach on an animal that is a balmun? V'nitach ota amar achmana. What does the Torah say ota? To teach me dafka what we have been discussing, namely an olak shira. There there's a din of nituach, but not an olak psula. So then now your interpretation breaks down. Well, maybe the seif is coming to tell me the din of an olak shira. I mean, I didn't say the entire Mishnah is talking about the same case. I said, look, I mean, we had different cases. Certainly at the end of the Mishnah, we were agreed that maybe the Pesach, which is Kachim Kalim, was that ball. Thank you, pufferfish. Thank you. Just as a pufferfish, I was looking for victims. I'm looking around carefully now. Let's see now. Who could we think about? It couldn't be Richie. No, absolutely not. So we've agreed that there were parts of the Mishnah talking about Kachim Kalim, parts of the Mishnah talking about Kachim Kachim, parts of the Mishnah that are talking about a behemoth that's a psula, parts of the Mishnah talking about a behemoth that's a. What's so terrible about that? So the bottom, that this piece over here is Sefer Ata Alekshira. It's talking about a kosher oila. So what's the Chiddush then? The Chiddush is the Yesh Hefshet V'nituach B'Rosh HaMizbeach. That once you do the Shkita, don't take the animal down to do Hefshet V'nituach, do the Hefshet V'nituach on the Mizbeach itself. What about the Kodigaman, the Amar, who actually, as we'll see, says there is no Hefshet V'nituach B'Rosh HaMizbeach? So then what? You're telling me there's not an alternative explanation for this Mishnah? Ma'ikel HaMeimar? Well, he could explain it very simply. Achamayas Kinan. Remember that even according to that Man D'Yom, if you once had a Shat HaKosher, okay? So if there was a Shat HaKosher, I say let's go back. We're talking about over here, you were Mala, a behemoth that was Kishera, okay? When it was alive. You then shechted it on the Rosh HaMizbeach. Now, you're saying, so what's going on? Aha. Uh-huh. What's going on is that indeed there was a psul, but the psul happens after the Zrika. And therefore, I'm saying, do the Hefshet V'nituach, because the animal was kosher at the time. The animal was kosher. At this point, I'm supposed to be malid. You're saying, but a possible animal. I don't do hefshet v'nitua. Even according to the original Mandioma, everybody would agree, at least the way Reb Elazar ben Shimon learns, that if an animal had a sha'at kosher, forget about a big on top of the mizbeach, talk about on the bottom, on the ground, typical animal, you went ahead, you did a shkita, you did a zrika, now let's say something up its tummy. Now I'm unable to bring it up. So the question is, do I have shet v'nituach or not? Well, the Torah says, ota, only kshira, this is not kshira, don't do a hefshet v'nituach. What do? Take the whole thing out and burn it. Wrong. Because once it had a shata kosher, even though subsequently it was nifsala, Aliyah ben Reb Elazar ben Shimon, who says that kivan shenizrak adam v'urtza basar sha'ah achat, there was ever a moment in which I had already done zrik, and for that second it was kosher, despite the fact that subsequently it needs to be burned, you do not burn everything. You take off the skin, and you give the skin to the kohanim, because they were already zeiche in it, because it was a moment of hash. Now, the same logic applies to our case, where you didn't do it on the ground, you did it on top. You do it on top, then the mizbeach becomes the kohen, so to speak. In other words, you're going to do the hefshet in order to give the or to the kohanim. But in this case, remember, you're also going to bring the basar up to the mizbeach because it's already on the mizbeach. So in that case, you need to do a nituach as well, because otherwise they're going to put the basar on the mizbeach. So over there, that would be the case. Yafshiten avora lekohanim. So then, how do you explain the fact that when the Mishnah, the Braita discusses this in detail, so it says, Ketzat oseh, what do you do? What you do is, you are moridat akrovayim, because you have a problem over here. You've got an animal that you're butchering. It's over and as you're butchering. What do you do with the intestines? I mean, it's a heck of a mess. You're certainly not going to put the inside of the animal on the mizbeach, as if the mizbeach were a bathroom. So what are you going to do with those intestines?
Not the
amorim? Yes, it includes the intestines. So what are you going to do with them? You're going to have, no, you can't just throw them on filthy like that. You're going to have to, Ketzero said, take them down. It was a special location where they would wash out the intestines before bringing them on the Mizbeach. So, Morina takravayim lamata umedichin. Now, my dear friend, once I take them down, the way you're understanding now, the Mishnah, we're talking about a puzzle, I can't take them up. So, what would be the point? I mean, there's no point, lamali. I understand. What are you saying? Tell me what your alternative is, my dear friend. Not krivina bepiratayah, what are we supposed to bring it full of its own contents? Hakriveu nala pechatecha yirtzakala yisafanecha. Go try bringing that to the local governor. See if that gets you put into jail or not. You're going to put that on the mizbeach? So I understand. What do you expect? Obviously, I can't put it on the mizbeach. It wasn't what I was asking. I was asking, why do we wash it out? There's no point in washing something out where it's going to be dumped in a dumpster, is there? Because I can't bring it back up, because you said, that's what we said. So you said, well, take them down and wash them up. Did I ask you why we take them down? No. I asked you why we wash them out, since I'm not going to be able to put them back up again, unless we're talking about an olah that's kosher, in which case your whole argument falls to pieces. Yeah, that's what you do. But why do you wash them? You can't put them back up again. Anything that came off. Nope, we never found that. Whatever is there is kosher. We're going to get to a case that is actually touches upon what you're saying. Give it another minute. Tomorrow we'll get there. So anan hachi kamrina. What I'm. Oh, darn it. Anan hachi kamrina. Medichan lamali. Why would I wash it out? Well, I can explain that. I mean, I wash it out, but what do you want me to do? You want me to take out the intestines, put them in a container, bring the rest of the carbon, and what if some other very zoris kohen comes by and sees, ooh, a pot of intestines meant to be on top of the mizbeach? Splat! I don't want to do that. So therefore, I wash it out just to avoid the embarrassment of such an event happening. The imidrami kohen achrinu v'lo yada naskinu, he's going to take it up. Come on. I mean, this is a little silly, isn't it? Because what we're doing is, we're almost making sure that that's what's going to happen. I mean, at least like this, any normal coin is going to notice. Yeah. Why don't put that on the mizbeach?
They put a label on right. It, you know, like they hang a sign.
And nobody's going to read labels, as we'll see later. It's an issue. Yeah. So, because everybody's moving very fast. The whole thing is done bizrizut. So, okay, the chances are the guy's going to notice that these intestines are not right for the mizbeach yet. So now you're saying, well, wash them. Okay, once I wash them, then I'm almost guaranteeing that somebody's going to make this mistake. So should we, non-nekum, should get up, and navidu the kohanim milta, fix things up for the kohanim that they should definitely do something wrong. Is that what you're saying? Da'atu b'amidei takala? Says Gemara, yes, that is what I'm saying. Because afilo hachi adifa, it's more important from the overall perspective, shelo ye kochei shamayim mutalim kinivela. Does another mean, we're going to leave a piece of a carbon lying around like it's a corpse? That's insulting in the extreme. So even though a takala could come from this, overall, in the final balance of the issues, it's more important to take care of those intestines and to clean them out. Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan had a question. Now, this is very interesting because, remember, we started off with Rabbi Yochanan telling us that there's a different way to evaluate the Roy, the Pesach HaMoed, when it comes to Shkitas Kurtz. And then we went into Ula, and Ula talked about the Yilach Meshul Mizbeach of Kachim Kalim, before Srikas Dam, whether the Natsulach Meshul Mizbeach. So we have two sets of concerns. Remarkably, in this piece of Gemara, we're going to bring up yet a third set of concerns, and that is Me'ila. Because remember, when it comes to Me'ila, there is also a need to determine by Kachim Kalim, as opposed to Kachim Kach, which are always meant to be the Chelek of the Mizbeach, and therefore there's Me'ila on them immediately. Kachim Kalim, as we pointed out earlier, are not that way. Kachim Kalim only become the portion of the Mizbeach vis-a-vis Me'ila after they are miyuchet for Hashem. And that requires the Zrikat Adam. Now, we spoke about a case where you're Mala and they become Lach Meshul Mizbeach. Is that Lach Meshul Mizbeach the equivalent of becoming the Chelek Shamayim vis-a-vis Me'ila? So we have yet a third issue in which the criterion may be very different to determine whether this is considered to be within the set of B'nai Me'ila or not. So we have the issue of Shvutei Chutz, one set. We have the issue of Lasu Lach Meshul Mizbeach, another set. And we have the issue of Me'ila. So far we've had Ula's description of the second issue. We've had Rabbi Yochanan's description of the first issue. Now we have another story of Rabbi Yochanan, which begins with, in our version, and we're going to see there's another version, the opposite version, that according to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan raised the very question that Ula addressed, which was, Emuri kachim kalim she'elan lifnei zrikat damam. They're kosher, but the question is not yet roy for the Mizbeah. So you bring them up to the Mizbeah before the Zrika. Shall they be brought down or not? Or just be mocked of them as they are? So yerdu o lo yerdu? Omar le Rebbe Ami, why is this the only issue that you're raising? And how about vis-a-vis Me'ila? Don't we have that same question? If I brought them up to the top of the Mizbeah, would they be considered to be already ro'ui for Me'ila or not? Omar le, I have no question about Me'ila. I'll tell you why. Me'ila lo kami boile, because vis-a-vis Me'ila, it is not the idea of Lach Meshul Mizbeach. It is the idea of Yichud for Hekdesh. And that is Zrikat Adam. Yes. By Me'ila, I say it's Zrikahu, the Kav Aleb Me'ila. Only Zrika can be Koveya Me'ila. Because the Mizbeach having it never proves anything. When it comes to Me'ila, what's important is Zrika. My question is, Kika Mibayale, that other set, Yerida, that's what's important to me. Is it Yored or not? And in the end, says Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, what Rabbi Yochanan determined was, Upashit lo yerdu, and Ein Behem Me'ila. So in, but perhaps for different reasons. So the lo yerdu, now, the lo yerdu indeed, is defined by Lach Meshul Mizbeach, and nonetheless, no Me'ila, because it's irrelevant. Over there, we're going according to the Zrika. Now, there's another version in which, Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, what Rabbi Yochanan asked was, Emurim kachim kalim she'alan lifnei zrikat daman yesh ben Me'ila erlo. That was his issue about the third set, which was Lagabe Me'ila, whether this is considered to be Kachay Mizbeach, as if they were Kachay Kachim at this point. And in this version, Rabbi says to him, why are you only talking about Me'ila? Why aren't you talking about Yerida? V'tiboy lecha Yerida? V'tiboy lecha Yerida? Omar le, because Yerida is obvious. Over there, Yerida is defined by Lach Moshom Mizbeach. And therefore, it's for sure not so Lach Meshul Mizbeach, because I agree completely with what Ula said. My only question is, what determines Me'ila? Is Lach Meshul Mizbeach the determining factor in Me'ila, or is Zrika the determining factor in Me'ila? That's my question. And indeed, in the end, he is poshut exactly the same thing. Poshut hafi lo yerdu, so it was not so Lach Meshul Mizbeach, afal pikein, and then Me'ila. Okay, so now we have everything in its place. We clearly understand the difference where we have different criteria for what is going to define in the category of belonging to Hekdesh, belonging to Mizbeach, vis-a-vis Shchitas Bachutz, Halas Chutz, vis-a-vis Yerida from the Mizbeach, vis-a-vis the Din of Me'ilah. Furthermore, we've also discussed the fascinating issue of where we bedafka will leave something on the Mizbeach because we get profit out of the idea. That is to say, if I take it down, I won't be able to bring it back up, but if it's already there, then I, over there, in that case, I would have been willing to forego other considerations in order to maintain the consciousness of the carbon once it's there. That was something we never thought of before, because it's a curious reversal the way we usually look at it. Usually, the more puzzle it is, you think the more likely it is you should take it down. This is the one case that we had that, because it's puzzle, let's leave it up. It's interesting. Okay, so that was a curious case. And now, we move on to the next interesting part of the Mishnah, and that is the list of Ve'elu loy apsulim b'kodesh, and then comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and comes along Rabbi Akiva, and he says, I say even Bali Mumin. You can even put Bali Mumin once it's olu lo yeridu, even though that violates everybody's understanding, because according to Rabbi Shimon, the issue is apsulim b'kodesh, and obviously it's apsulim b'kodesh. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the issue is, do I find an equivalent precedent somewhere? That's the question. So how could Rabbi Akiva say that Bali Mumin, where in the world do we find an equivalent precedent for Bali Mumin? To which Rabbi Yochanan explained, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, well, lo yachshi Rabbi Akiva labedokin shebe'ayin. Rabbi Akiva was talking about more subtle Mumin. He was not talking about Mechusrei Eiver, because since such a thing is kosher with Ofot, therefore it's considered to be a equivalent of, let's say, Chutz, where it would be kosher in Obama. I mean, it would be kosher. If it were a bird, it would be kosher. It isn't a bird. Doesn't matter. It isn't Obama. So Mamela would be the same thing. I'm looking for precedence, and therefore I'm including it in Vizot Torah Ta'olah, Torah Chatechol Ha'olim. But there's one other thing. Because all of this, obviously, to call something lakmash mizbeach, it has to have a kedushat haguf from the mizbeach. If it started off as a balmum, and then you try to be magdashit, forget it. There is no way for you to give the kedushas mizbeach to a balmum. It's not royal mizbeach. Therefore, the only case that Rabbi Akiva would be talking about is A. It's the type of mum that does have a precedent, I just say, at least in the case of Ofot. Richie, imagine if you were a bird. So if you were a bird, the fact that your brain isn't working wouldn't be a mum. Because we'd say he has a bird brain. Exactly. But now, so therefore, Rabbi Akiva, it's not a problem. You can go to sleep.
I can get checked.
Uh-oh. Malikad.
No. Malikad.
Remember, Shkita is just murder, which I'm planning. Okay, so. So, we need two things. First of all, it should be Dokun Shabbayin, which is precedent. And the other is that it's who Shehikdim Hegedeshan et Muman. First you were Magdishdian. Then it got a mum. And what type of mum? A mum that if it were a bird would be kosher. Only in the combination of those circumstances would Rabbi Akiva say, look, the level of Kedusha is there. The level of the psul has a precedent of kasher, so in the case of birds. Therefore, Malalo Yerda. Beep, beep.
The mum was there first, you need
mum. That's exactly it. That's what he's saying. Don't make the mistake of thinking I'm saying even if the mum was there first. You need to have a kedusha saguf for the mizbeach.
Just about Katarai.
Yeah. Well, who says it's pitov? Maybe I was magdashed a year ago. I mean,
waiting.
Yeah, and besides, it's not only a cataract, it could be an accident also. I mean, it's just anything that wouldn't pass an off. An off is only nifsa, the mechusar ever. Now, Rabbi Akiva is made that if you bring up an ola, which is a female, it's missing a very important part of its anatomy to be an ola, you see. Because an ola has to be a zohar. That's a darn big mum. And therefore, that would be the equivalent of always being a baal mum in advance of a hekdesh. And therefore, imola teret. Now, this issue of missing that part of your anatomy has a lot of other implications. For instance, can a bird be nifsal by being used as the female of a sexual act? Or not. In other words, Yeshnir would be awfully hard for the bird to be the active partner in that sexual action since it doesn't have the requisite equipment. That's what we're talking about. So at least this kind of bird has no... A male, any bird is the equivalent of a female in the sense of not having the equipment to be Rovea. So now the question is, does that mean that it's also not a Nirva? Yeshnir Vabofot or a Nirva Bofot? In other words, do we say that when we exclude Roveya v'Nirva, it's from the words min ha-behema. So min ha-behema means, but not all behemot. Behemot used as sexual objects are out of the question. So that's lo-tziyat ha-roveya v'ha-nirva. But that would mean that you got to be able to be both, either. Either you have to be the male partner or the female partner, so to speak. I mean, it doesn't really matter your sex. So if you're able to call hecha to eat a roveya, if you've got the equipment to do the roveya, I mean, can you imagine that pigeon raping someone? I mean, this is pretty rough. So if you can, if you're able to be a roveya, then you can be a nirva and be nifsal. But kol echad leta b'roveya, leta b'nirva. O dilma, or do we say, look, nevda ba'aveira? I mean, it's not really important. Who cares? Roveya b'nirva should be some type of zera takatuf, hard to believe. The point over here is a sexual object, right? That's a question. Omar Rabbi, I'll bring you a raya. Tashma. Rebbe Akiva. What? They look sort of the same on the outside, right? Yep. You could see this boy. This boy doesn't deal much with chickens. All right. Tashma. Let's bring a raya from here. Rabbi Akiva is makshir bebaalei mumin. Now, if the case is that a bird that was nirva would be kosher, then Rabbi Akiva should be makshir b'nirva, because all of the kosher be'alfot. You're looking for a precedent. A nirva is kosher be'alfot. That's a good precedent. Shema mina, you see from there that indeed there is no such halacha that a bird is kosher as a nirva. Omrim nagul by Yitzchak, well, the truth is that we can read that clearly from a Mishnah that is obviously referring to a din of a bird. Hanirva, note that word, hanirva, ve'amuks, tovadazor, ve'anevad as avadazor. Ve'etznan, umafir, and a tumtum, and an androgynous, are all metamim begadim ha-beit ha-bliyah. The only things that are metamim begadim ha-beit ha-bliyah are nivlat of ha-tahar. So that means that we view the concept of nirva as applicable to a bird. Shema mina. Now, Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim says what appears to be like really an irrelevant statement. My dad used to be dochedem from the Mizbeach. And that's what the Tanakhama said in the Mishnah. These things im olu yerdu. So what exactly is the point, the Bali Mumin? So my Kamashmala. Well, I mean, he might just be saying that, not to throw in my own opinion in the matter, but I was there and I can tell you how things were actually handled a lot of Lamaisa. And we always like to have a Lamaisa precedent, so maybe that's all he's saying. Maybe he isn't adding anything. So either Maase Kamashmala, he's just coming to tell me the facts of what was. Or, you know, he might have been saying, my Abba was Doche. Doche is not the same thing as Horid. Doche is mashma to sort of get them out of the way. But that would mean kilachar yam. That would mean carefully, not in a blatant fashion. So although we wouldn't pass him like Rabbi Akiva, but we also wouldn't make a big fuss. Oh, it's a baal mumin. We would take it down carefully. Kishem she'im Allah, we said. And once it's all a lo yerein, so too im yarad lo yale. Now here we get to Moshe's question. And that is, Omar Ula, lo shana lo shalom mashlaba hena'ur. The fact is that if the fire had already started burning, remember, we've not been discussing cases with things around the fire. The only time that we discussed the fire was agabe pok'in. Pok'in was the exact opposite. Once it's mashlaba hena'ur on the fire, then even if it falls off, we put it back on. I was talking about kosher things. Here we're talking about possible things. It wasn't put in the fire. It was just on the Mizbeach in terms of putting it into the fire. But how about something possible that already started to burn? If it already started to burn, then you actually would put it up. Ya'alu. So this is a new thing. Now, the question is, what part of the Mishnah was a little referring to, you see, when he says lo shana. So Rav Mori learns that he was referring to these words that we just said in the first part of the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah is the Mishnah we know. The second part of the Mishnah is the Mishnah that's about to be read, which we'll read in a moment. But the question is, what was Ula referring to? Because remember, initially this is all one Mishnah. So if he's referring to the Resha, so then he would be saying, where is it that we wouldn't be Malad in the case of Psulim that were Yerdu, that wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu Sa'or? But Rav Chanina Misura said, no, what Ula was referring to was something entirely different. It was not referring to the Psulim, that the first Mishnah, what we call the Mishnah, was referring to. He was referring to the Seifa. The Seifa reads as follows. Normally, forget about Psulim now, parts of the animal that are not put on the Mizbeah are the bones, ha'atzamot, hagidim, sinew, karnayim, the horns, the tlafayim, the feet, the nails on the feet. So if they're part of the piece of meat, then they're yalu. So bizman shemechubarim yalu, but if they were cut off, lo yalu. And on that, says Ula, when do we say that? Davka shalom mashla be'ama'ur, only if they hadn't started burning on the Mizbeah. But once it's mashla be'ama'ur, even if now they got separated, and now they're falling off of the Mizbeah. And now the question, should I put them on? In that case, you should put them on. Yalom. Now, if you weren't ready to tell me that mashal be'ama'ur, take something which bichlal is not roy to burn on the Mizbeah. I mean, how can you burn horns on the Mizbeah? Obviously, that's not considered to be part of what the Mizbeach was meant for. And even so, you're telling me, but it doesn't matter. Once Lamaisa, it's in fire, it's considered to be Lach Moshe Mizbeach, even though the Mizbeach doesn't eat that kind of stuff. Kol Shekain, when something is possible, where the Mizbeach does eat that kind of stuff. You just weren't supposed to bring it. So they're Kol Shekain. Once it's Lach Moshe Mizbeach, it's truly Lach Moshe Mizbeach.
Did you say fuel?
No. We're not talking about fuel now. We're talking about being part of the Mizbeach itself. So Kol Shekain, the first case, Ula would have certainly said, you should be Ma'ale. Whereas Man Demat Nila, if, however, you're learning it on the Reisha, then I would say, okay, the Reisha I understand. You're talking about a regular piece of meat. The only thing is that it's a piece of meat that had a psul in it of yotz or whatever the case was. So there, once it's Mashal Bema'ur, then we consider it to still be on the Mizbeach, despite the fact that I'm seeing it here underneath. It's still burning on the Mizbeach, so to speak. And therefore, only in that case would I bring it up. Avala Seifa. I'm going to say that since something is now separated, and it's fallen off of the head that it was once attached to. Now the fire has been moshel in it, and now you've got horns. I'm not going to put something that's not edible for the Mizbeach onto the Mizbeach. And therefore, no Seifah. This is not B'nai Haktorah at all. The concept of Haktorah doesn't apply to these things. All you're doing is burning them. It's like an incinerator. It's not an Akilah of the Mizbeach. Mamel, it's not Shayach to the act of Haktorah. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Hashochet Beima Balaila Bifnim, Vehela Bachutz Chayev, Lote Pchuta Mishochet Bachutz, Umale Bachutz. Masi Rebchia Baravina, by that logic, Hashochet Ov Bifnim, Umale Bachutz. Why is it Potter? Shachat Bachutz, Umale Bachutz is Chayev, according to you, Neima Lote Pchuta Mishochet Umale Bachutz. Well, maybe this is a Tiyuvta, or Ibai Teima. Shchitata Ov Bifnim is just plain old-fashioned murder. Omer Ula, Muri Kachib Kalim, Shalom Saizrikatamam, Lawyer, do Nasa Lach Moshe Mizbeach. Omer Abizera, I see that in the mission. Nishbar Dama, Vishyatza Dama Chutzikalayim. Now, if over there isn't any blood, Subat Adim Balizrok, he wouldn't have what to be Zorik, and nonetheless, him all a lawyer do. Koshkin in Ula's case, Hakadim Balizrok Zorik, Lo Koshkin? No, not necessarily. Maybe the mission's only talking about Kachib Kachib. What? And Misha talks about Pesach, which is Kachim Kalim. Yeah, but that's in the context of Shalom Lishman. Okay, Tanat. V'kulam sha'olu chayim l'gabizbeach yerdu. Kulam. Okay, implications. Hashchutim lo yerdu. My love, lo shna kachim kachim, lo shna kachim kalim. No, not necessarily. Hashchutim implication. Equals. Mehem yerdu, mehem lo yerdu. Want to discuss it? But it says kulam. Kulam was going on the statement of the Chayim. So then it's Pshita. Well, it still makes sense. The Olam HaChayim, but it's talking about there's a problem. There's Dokin Shavayin, Alibi the Rabbi Akiva, the Imamar, Ima Lula Yerdo, and you might think, therefore, that even if it's alive, Ima Lula Yerdo, because that's beneficial, we get the Korban, Kabash Balan, live doesn't help. Okay, so B'mayo Kiptana B'psulim? So how do you read the Sefer? V'chein Ola Shalta Chayal Rosh Mizbeach Tered. But if you were shachat abrosh mizbeach yafshit v'inater mimakoma, you got a slight problem here, dear friend, because ipsula batef shet v'nituachi. Do we not learn out from the posik v'nitach ota l'natachea amarachmana? Ota, only it as discussed above, which would be ksherav alopsula, and you're claiming that on an olopsula we would be nitu and doing yafshit v'nituach. Well, but the sefer was talking about a kosher. So what's the chiddush? That yesh hefshet v'nituach b'rosh ha-mizbeach. How about if you don't hold that? L'man yomer ein hefshet v'nituach b'rosh ha-mizbeach. Ma'ika l'mima. Okay, you know, I'm going back to the original pshat. It's possible, all right? And kigon shaitala sha'ata kosher v'nifsila, and it's going like Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon. D'yomer kimish nizrak adam v'utzah basar sha'achat. If it were down on the ground, we would be mafshit and give the or to the kohanim and then burn it. Here, what's on the top of the mizbeach, we'll do a hefshet for the or for the kohanim. Nituach, because we're going to put it on the mizbeach. Vela diktani, ketzad oseh moridat akravayim lamatu umadichan. Can you tell me why we're doing that? Well, what do you suggest? Put it on the mizbeach like that? I wasn't asking we should put it on. I was asking, why are we washing it out? Oh, that's because he might take it up, and we don't want that to happen. So you're telling me, which for sure is almost going to happen, which will be utterly deitakola? Yes, because if you look at it, for sure you got shemayim, mutolim kinevila. Why don't you ask about Mi'ila? Omele Mi'ila is clear to me that it's Zerika that is Koveya for Mi'ila. In the end, Upashit, in fact, it is Nazilach Malashem is back like Lula and Lo Yerdu, but Ainba Mi'ila. Renagba Yitzchak Matni Hachi, Omrep Yabarava, Boy Rabbi Ochanan. Why don't you ask what the din would be legabe imolu if yerdu or not? Omarle, because there I know the answer. Yiridalo kami boyle, I agree with Li, I agree with Ula. Denazulach mashom is beach. Ki kami boyle vis-a-vis meila. In the end, pashitachi lo yerdu ve ein ben meila. Ve elo lo yapsulon bakodesh. Then it goes and lists now. That according to Rabbi Akiva, even Bali Mumin are considered to be Psulim Bakodesh, and they would be all right. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, but that's only Lo Hirsh Rabbi Akiva Ela Bedokin Shabayin or other things that would be Ksherim Be'ofot. And furthermore, would only be if you were Magdashit before it ever got the Mum, so that it got Kedushat HaMizbeah. Umodi Rabbi Akiva, that in Olat, the Keva is the equivalent of Karam Mum Aleg De Shadamya, and therefore you can never be Male. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, yesh nirva be'of, and that's despite the fact that by the bird it wouldn't matter. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, yesh nirva be'ofot, or nirva be'ofot. Mi amar, mina be'imala, otzi haroveya ve'a nirva. So that means it's a set. Kol eichad ita beroveya, ita be'nirva. But kol eichad aleta beroveya. It's not part of the sex violators, so to speak, set. Odi amare nev da bo'avera. Omar Rabba Tashma Rabbi Akiva Machshib Baalei Mumin. If indeed there would be no din of Nirva by Ofat, so then imita Nachshir Nami b'Nirva over Kosher b'Ofat. Shma Mina. Omar Nachba Yitzchak Afana Nami Tanina Hanirva VaAmukze VaNevad VaEtan VaMechir VaTumta VaAmdrogenes. All in birds that are possible. Kula Metame Begodim HaBeit HaBliyasa. Clearly Nirva is considered to be the Nevela. Shma Mina. Rabbi Chanina Skanakoim says, Abba used to be dochen me ala mizbeach, my kamashvan. Ibait ema maase kamashvan, or ibait ema, the use of the word dochez, what's significant over here, because it means kile achri yad. Keshem she'ima lo lo yerdu, kachim yerdu lo ya'alu, amarula lo shanu, elo shalom mashlabem ha'ur, ava mashlabem ha'ur ya'alu. Rav Mori matni ha'resha, as we just said it. Rabbi Chanina Misura, he learned that Ula said his statement on the Sefer that's coming up, namely, Ha'atzamot v'agidim ha'kanayim atlafayim b'zman sh'b'chubarim ya'alu, but pirshu lo ya'alu. And according to him, Ula commented on that by saying, lo shanu ela shalom ha'shalabayan ha'ur, aval, let's say they fell off the Mizbeach after Mishilat ha'ur, then ya'alu, so man damat ni ha'sefer, koshik en ha'resha, man damat ni ha'resha, אבל הספר לאו בני הקטרה נינון.